dips so that we're more consistent. But we're finished with that series, except for the fact we have been memorizing this last year, and we've been memorizing Revelation 20, the whole chapter, 1 to 15, and then recently we've been doing Romans chapter 8, 1 to 17. So we're going to, today and next week, review our memory verses as a group so that we hide those things. Good morning, Trevor. So that we hide the word in our hearts and we don't forget the verses that many of you put a lot of time and effort into learning. This morning I'm going to talk about another topic not related to higher ground. I want to do that this week. I'm not sure what I'm going to do next week. Then next week's the last Sunday school class until September the 8th. So we're doing two odd subjects. Then we will have a recess for the summer. Of course, the morning service will be at 11 o'clock this morning and next Sunday, but starting on the 23rd, the morning service will be at 10:30. It doesn't mean it's going to be an hour and a half service. It's 10:30 to 11:30. The evening service is the same all summer, and it will be 6 o'clock, and prayer meeting will be on Wednesday night at 7 o'clock, and that will be the same all summer. But happy to welcome you to the class this morning. Now, we are going to do, some of you are worried about a test. There's even some people who picked the seat where they were going to sit so they could cheat. Now, what's that say about higher ground? Everybody, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life, everybody... For what the law could... That the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh. For they that are after the flesh, and they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is... So then, but ye are not in the flesh, but keep it going. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For as many as are... Some of you did really well. I know some of you are still stumbling over a few places. That's normal in the process of memorization. But it's good to do those verses, isn't it? Now, I'm just going to ask one, if there's one individual here this morning who will, by themselves, without the help of the overhead and the words here, will quote Romans 8, 1 to 17. Do I have a volunteer before we do what they do during war times? Okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to pick Heidi. Heidi, just as far as you can go, would you like to start it out, please? There is... For to be carnally minded. Because? So then, they that are in the flesh cannot please God. Avis, would you pick up verse 9? But ye are not in the flesh. For if ye, but if ye through the Spirit, yes, yes. Thank you, ladies, both of you. You did well. You did well. Now, this is going to be a challenge before we start our study. We're taking some time on this. Is it important to memorize Scripture? Is that important? Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not... Okay. This book of the law shall not depart from thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest make thy way... prosperous, and that you may have good success, right? We have saved seats for you folk right here, Lloyd. These are expensive seats. I'll mark them down. Pull your walker in nice and close, Willamay. Let's try Revelation chapter 20. Now, don't be looking at your Bible. That's thou shalt not cheat. Try it with me. And I saw an angel come down from heaven... and a great chain in his hand, and he lay hold on the dragon. Right. And shut him up, and set a... And I saw thrones, and they sat on them. Neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hand. But the rest of the dead... Blessed and holy is he that hath... Now when the 1,000 years... Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And? Verse 11. And him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heavens fled away, small and great stand before God, and the books, and another, which is, and the dead were, which were, and death and good. And And whosoever was... Wow. Many of you did so well. Trevor, you were right on the bit there with all of that. That was just great. I was watching Gladys back there because I had asked her to say it a number of times when we were doing it, and I don't think you missed a word. It was really, really good. Oh, I just commend all of you. We'll do this again next week. We're interested in getting God's Word in our hearts and hiding it there, okay? Let's bow for prayer before we begin our class. Father, thank you for the opportunity to be together this morning. We pray that you will speak to our hearts. Lord, we want to learn from your Word. We want to grasp what the Scriptures are saying. And so we pray that the Holy Spirit, who resides in our hearts, will indeed teach us the Word. Help us to understand it correctly. Help us, Lord, as the Spirit of God prompts us and applies it to our hearts, not only to listen, but to heed, and not only, Lord, to be hearers, but to be doers of the Word. Lord, on our topic this morning, I pray that you will enlighten us so that we may live lives that are pleasing to you in the world in which we find ourselves today. I pray and ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. For a few moments this morning, and maybe we'll go into next week, I want to talk about something that's really growing in North America, at least in my opinion. I want to talk a little bit about witchcraft, and I want to talk about the occult. I don't know if you're aware, but witchcraft is the fastest growing religion in North America. It is everywhere in our society. You may not think that it is, but it's there, even in subtle forms. If you watch Prime TV series, you'll notice that it's involved in the Prime TV series. If you're a person who's on the internet very much, there are a number of chat rooms on the internet, about 1,800 of them, where you can actually go into a chat room and chat with somebody who says they are a witch. That's really terrible. If you go to Amazon.com and review the books that are for sale, there are over 1,800, between there and 2,000 books that are really being pushed as books on witchcraft. Now, if you think that this is a topic that if we just ignore it, it'll go away, it's not going to go away. Because I believe we are living in times approaching the end times. And of course, if you understand, and we've been through the book of Revelation a few months ago, I believe that sorcery and witchcraft and all of that is going to play a lot in society as we get close to the end times. We know the devil is quite a deceiver. A few years ago, there was a series on television called Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Now, also very popular, it's kind of gone a little bit by the wayside now, but the Harry Potter books became very, very popular. Children's fantasy literature. Do you know that well over 100 million copies of the Harry Potter books have been produced? They're sold in 200 countries. The Harry Potter books have been translated into 40 different languages. There are Harry Potter toys. Half of the children, I'm told, in North America between the ages of 16 and 17 have at least one Harry Potter book. These are fantasy books that introduce to children black magic, human sacrifice, blood-sucking curses, and of course the powers of another world. Now you probably know enough about it from seeing previews and things on TV that this fellow Harry went to Hogwarts school. And he learned witchcraft and got power from witchcraft that changed his life. And all of this is cleverly packaged, I believe, behind it all, the power of the devil, so that children understand that there is a spiritual alternative as far as the way you can live your life. And what's promoted in that whole series of books, of course, has to do with developing your psychic powers within you. And there's a lot taught in those books about charms and chants and all that that will bring power and control into your life. A gentleman out in California who've done a video to alert Christians to what this is, he calls it making evil look innocent. And it's the repackaging of witchcraft cleverly designed. Harry Potter is a nobody. But through the discovery of powers within him, he is a respected hero in the eyes of little children. So I just say that, I know, because bringing up Harry Potter's name, that's just an attention grabber this morning. But the fight is on against the enemy, who is vicious, of course, and deceptive, and rough, and ruthless, and relentless, and all of the hosts of demons, and I believe there are real spiritual beings called demons. I believe that they are out to ruin the testimonies of the people of God, and I also believe their demons are active to wreck the lives of Christians. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. Jesus said that, didn't it? And the Bible says the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. So I just want to spend a little bit of time, obviously it'll be no more than two Sundays, just talking a little bit about the occult and the rise of the occult in the world in which we live today. Now, let's define what is the occult. This is my definition. You may have a better one. That God-condemned practice of using secret supernatural means to bring about supernatural results or to obtain secret knowledge, especially about future events. Can you digest that? That God-condemned practice, I'll prove that in just a minute, that it's a God-condemned practice of seeking secret supernatural means to bring about supernatural results to obtain secret knowledge, especially of future events. Now, I put on overhead, we can look it up in the scriptures, this verse. This is from the book of Leviticus. You might have come across it many times in your reading. It says, give no regard to mediums and familiar spirits. Do not seek after them to be defiled by them. I am the Lord your God. Now, of course, that was given to the nation of Israel. I'd ask you to turn to Deuteronomy 18. I didn't type that out or have the secretary do that. Deuteronomy 18 to see what God says there. Deuteronomy 18. And let's just read these few verses. They're not long. Deuteronomy 18, starting at verse 9. It says, when you come into the land. Now, it's obviously written to the children of Israel. When you come into the land God has given you. Deuteronomy 18, verse 9. Look what it says. You shall not learn to follow the abomination of the nations. Verse 10. There shall not be found among you anyone who makes his son or his daughter pass through the fire. That was practiced with the false religion Moolah, M-O-L-E-C-H, where they had a large image of a person with outstretched arms like this. And under the image, they built a fire, and that image would get red hot from that fire, and they would take a newborn child and put that child in the arms, the red-hot arms of that image, and offer that child as a sacrifice to God. Can you imagine any people of God ever consenting to do that? It's just beyond their imagination. So it says, when you go into the land, don't you get involved in any of that. Okay, look what else it says. Now, it says, or one who practices witchcraft. It says, or a soothsayer. Or one who interprets omens. I'm going to read the tea leaves on the bottom of your cup. That's just to get your attention. Or a sorcerer. He says, or one who conjures spells. I'm reading from the New King James. Or a medium. Or a spiritus. Or one who calls up the dead. That's pretty, it covered it all, didn't it? Doesn't it cover it all? Now look what it says, verse 12. It says, for all who do these things are an abomination to God. Now I got good news for you. So these things that are an abomination to God in the Old Testament are okay with God in the New Testament. Is that right? Of course not. These are still an abomination to God. So you can see these things that are there, that are mentioned. That's proof. That's proof that, of course, these things are terrible things. Now, Oh, just on that line, I want to help you out. This is the coffee news. This is the current one. If you give me your birthday, I'll give you your weekly horoscope. Please don't make fun of the author. It's all here. And for those of you that buy lottery tickets, sinner, 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 I have your lucky numbers here in your horoscope. I was reading about my lucky numbers, 4, 11, 25, 32, 36, and 47. I'm an Aquarius. This is a very, very difficult class to manage. I want to talk about some occult forms, just so we can explain what this is all about. We laugh and joke among ourselves as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. Maybe before we talk about those things, let me put this down. I wonder if you can tell me what the difference is between astronomy and astrology. Okay, it's more than just the study of the stars. It's the study of celestial beings, right? Stars included in that. What is astrology? Astronomy is the scientific study of heavenly bodies, and astrology is the occult study of the supposed influence of the stars on human behavior or human affairs. Okay, now all this thing about the zodiac and all this thing about the horoscope and on we could go. We're talking about things that are part of the world of the occult. Now let me talk just a little bit before we talk about some of these other things about this word occult. The word occult comes from a Latin word, occultus. It has a U-S on the end of occult. And the word was used years ago by scientists when there was an eclipse in the sky. And when one body passed over front of the other and you couldn't see the heavenly body behind it. So the word occult was used, occultus was used, to say that what was behind it was now hidden. So the word occult means or refers to the hidden world, the spiritual hidden world of demonic activity of the devil. That's what the word occult means. Now it comes, there's various forms of the occult. You can break it down into two. One, you can break it down into what we call the world of magic, or the world of, the second one would be divination. Now, when we talk about the world of magic, I don't want anyone to get the idea that, you know, occult magic is different than entertainment magic. Have you gone to a show where someone will take a deck of cards or something else and through sleight of hand, they can make it look like something strange has happened? I have a couple of little magic tricks that I learned. They're really illusions, optical illusions, and sleight of hand, whereby I can likely, unless you're extremely sharp, and if I'm good enough, I can. You'll wonder how that happens. I'm going to do it to kids. It drives them right crazy. I used to do that as illustration to explain the gospel, and then I forgot about it, because after I did the magic trick, they never thought about what I was saying after that. They're trying to figure out where the secret compartment was in the bag that I had. And that's exactly how it is. But if you do it skillfully enough, and you can even have them come up and examine it, and they won't find it. We're not talking about that. Occult magic requires supernatural power, and this power usually comes through contact with demons. So when we talk about occult magic, that's what we're talking about. Now, I want you to do this. I want you to turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 7. And I want to show you this in the scriptures. Exodus chapter 7 and verse 11. We pass over these things when we read them sometimes and don't understand or get the full import of what's being said. Exodus 7, verse 11, you know this is the story of the children of Israel in Egypt. And verse 11 says, "But Pharaoh also called the wise men and the sorcerers." Now this is the area of the occult, okay? It says, so the musicians of Egypt. It says, "They also did in the manner with their," what's the next word in your Bible? Enchantments. You see, these enchantments and the key words that they have are part of the ritual that people involved in the occult use to gain, they'll call it cosmic power. Power from the gods. Power from the devil. Look at another one, if you would, while you have your Bible open there. Look down at verse number 20. Look what it says in verse 20. It says, "So Moses and Aaron did so, just as the Lord commanded. So he lifted up his rod and struck the waters that were in the river in the sight of Pharaoh and in the sight of his servants, and all the waters that were in the river were turned to blood. The fish that were in the river died, the river stank, and the Egyptians could not drink the water of the river. So it says, there was blood throughout all the land of Egypt." Verse 22. "Then the magicians of Egypt did so with their..." Now, was this real? Did they really do it? Esther? You have to ask Moses. Yes. I can't explain just how that was. Whether this was... Yes. I'm just trying to say, could they actually turn water to blood? It seems obvious that they did, right? So you got to understand that... There's real power there, isn't there? Do you believe in the power of God? I sometimes wonder how much we believe in the power of God. Remember Jesus said one time to the Pharisees, "Ye do err, not knowing the what? Not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." Are we living in a generation that knows the scriptures? I think particularly in this area, there used to be quite widespread and somewhat in-depth knowledge of the scriptures. Am I correct? I haven't lived here long, but I think that was the case. This used to be called the Bible Belt, right? The Bible Belt. I'm not sure that the next generation is as knowledgeable of the scriptures as the previous generation was. It says, "Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures or the power of God." I'm afraid that many who do not know the power of God certainly seem to know a little bit about the power of the devil, though they may not realize. Witchcraft. Witchcraft means magical incantations. They chant and chant and chant. Anybody ever heard of the game? It's old now. Dungeons and Dragons? Anybody heard of that? Okay, good. Do you know that sometimes those who are involved in occult magic use objects and potions, don't they? You see, what do you mean by objects? Are you aware of the fact that people who are involved in occult magic will often use skulls in the ceremonies that they go through? They'll often use potions. You say, what kind of potions are you talking about? Talking about blood. The blood. Wow. In the Bible, it talks about, in the Revelation chapter 9, I think it's 21, it says, they repented not of their sorceries. What's that? They're sorceries. Sorceries, if you look it up in a Greek dictionary, in the dictionary in the back of Strong's Concordance, and if you spell out the word, if you take the Greek letters, put them into English letters, and spell it out, it spells out pharmacy. What's a pharmacy? It's a place where drugs are dispensed. And often that is what goes on. In all of this, drugs are often involved. Is our society getting there? I don't know a lot about this, but there's things that really bother me. What's going on in Istanbul? Anybody listen to the news the last couple of days? There's a park over in Istanbul, and they've been rioting over there. And this park is full of trees, and this is the place where people hang out. Do you know who started the riot? Do you know who hangs out and does their evil practices in that park? Satanists. No kids here. And men who have made themselves women. Transvestites. And they're all upset because this was the one place they could gather where they weren't bothered. And they could practice their evil things there. And now, you know, they have roused some sympathy in the world. Trevor, maybe I'm too old. But does any of this stuff bother us? Is this stuff still wicked? Is this still an abomination? You know, I think there's a real problem if we are not shocked with sin, isn't there? There's a problem. And all of this comes under the realm of the occult. What's this? Anybody know what that is?
Pentagram.
What is it? What's a pentagram? This is one of the symbols they use. What is it? What's it represent? What's it for? Why do they use it? Tell me what it's for. Anybody know? Pentagram is a symbol of safety. You walk into the home of somebody who has some connection with the occult, and if they have a scattered rug on the floor, pick it up and turn it over. I bet you there's a pentagram on the bottom of it. Some people put a pentagram, they have it on a man will have it on a belt buckle. Or they'll have it, ladies will have it on the strap of a purse or handbag that they're carrying over their shoulder. It's a pentagram. Has anybody ever heard of these? Of this? The pyramid? Yeah. You know, I'm a hockey fan. And of course, oh dear. And my team graciously backed out, so others... I wish Vaughn hadn't drunk the coffee because he's wide awake. But a few years ago, now I want to be careful what I'm saying here, but a few years ago when a gentleman by the name of Roger Neilson was the coach of the Toronto Maple Leafs, one of the Saturday night hockey night in Canada programs, and of course you know this, Don Cherry and Ron McLean, how they get on there and have great fun going back and forth and make hundreds of thousands of dollars while they're doing it, commented about Roger was trying something to see if his team could get an edge and get out of their slump. And they scanned their TV cameras around under the benches where the Maple Leaf gentlemen were sitting. And there were these pyramids. I wouldn't have believed it myself, but I saw it. You see. So, I guess I want to say that this occult stuff, this occult magic, Satanism, witchcraft, Dungeons and Dragons, magic charms and potions and New Age crystals and pyramids, fun.
Is that the all-seeing
I can't answer that. I don't know.
Plain as anything. And I was praying with a guy once. He was claiming to be a Christian. Just to hear him. He referred to the all-seeing eye.
And we saw this symbol in the Orthodox people.
Yeah. Laid over the what they call the Holy of Holies. Plain and big. Yes.
Curtis?
The Pentagram, when we were in New York City, we went down to the project buildings and worked with the teachers. And the parents were involved in the cult of the center. And in that cult, people, some of the kids said that they were all their houses, but probably all the person. But it wasn't uncommon for the parking lot of the project buildings. And there would be a pentagram on the parking lot.
So do you think that this is influencing our society?
Absolutely.
Do you all know how people who are Satanists let that be known to others who are Satanists? You ever seen people on TV and when they wave to the crowd? That's the sign. If the camera's close enough, you should look and watch, because quite often there'll be a pentagram right here. But that's the sign. You say, horns of Satan. That's the sign. Instead of this, that. So they have all kinds of signs and signals that they can give each other to identify what they're about. Should I do this? I'm gonna. Donna, does that image of Saint Christopher on the dash of your car keep you safe? Oh. What do you think about that? Let's talk about occult magic. Let's talk about occult divinations. The word divinations has to do with divining or seeing into the future. Okay? Now, occult magic has to do with doing these chants and using these crystals and all that to gain power for yourself. Divination has to do with looking into the future. We've all heard of psychics and all of these kinds of things. And I can't remember the guy's name, but there's a program on television. I've never seen the program all the way through, although I've scanned across it. A guy who, I think the title of the program is called Crossing Over. And it's a guy who will sit in front of a crowd, you know, have a pad of paper and a pen, and he'll scribble, and people will ask about so-and-so who left this life and went into eternity, and they want to know how that person's doing. Has anybody ever seen or heard anything like that? There are some programs on TV who specialize in doing things like that. If any of you have ever heard of the personality, Ricky Lake, she specializes in doing things like that, and there's a bunch of others. Anybody here ever heard of Sylvia Brown? Sylvia Brown is a psychic who recently made the news because one of the young girls they found, I forget what state it was in the United States, who had been captured and away from her parents for 11 years, Sylvia Brown had told her mother that she had contacted the dead and this girl was dead. And in reality, this girl had been captured and was released just a few weeks ago. Divination has to do with the power of telling the future. I won't get into all of these words. this word here, I'm not sure of the correct pronunciation of it, but it has to do with this. It has to do with looking at the shape of an animal's liver. Ever heard of that? Okay. Going down to Bellomancy. Bellomancy has to do with observing the pattern of things as they fall to the ground. And if you get down into here, of course, this has to do with consulting of household objects to gain secret information. That would the tea leaf thing would come under that. If I tell you this, if I say there's nothing wrong with this stuff, it's just innocent dabbling, what would you say to that, Tom? Well, what's wrong with it? Just having fun.
Oh, having fun. Well, you were opening yourself up to my power because, as you say, secret will call people do not know the fact, the secret to them, that they are actually contacting the model world and know the interest of them. They have to have fun. There's power to do things that they can depend on their own because the devil is the secret, right?
Mm-hmm. What were you going to say, Esther?
Well, to me, I'm not a simple person. Make it easy. That's a no.
Okay. How many have been in a tourist town and you've walked down? Every summer we walk down the town, Lake George, which is just a tourist town. There's no industry there other than tourism. And there are a couple of places on the sidewalk where you can go and have your palms read. Or they'll tell you about your future by what they call tarot cards. What do you think of that stuff? I mean, wouldn't it be fun just to see what they'd say? No? Yes, Lisa. Yes.
A warning here. I remember someone saying, don't dabble into too much going to find a lot of things. And I experienced some myself. So I read this book, and I can't remember what it was. But as I read it, I wanted to find out myself. And as I read it, I realized this could grab a hold of you.
I'd like to prove that. I wrote this verse down in my notes. Why don't you turn to Romans 16:19 so that you can see this for yourself? Because you made a point that I was getting to, and this is a good time to make this point. Romans 16:17. Look what it's 19. Romans 16:19. Romans 16:19 says, it says, "For your obedience has become known to all." Now look at the next sentence. "Therefore, I am glad on your behalf. But I want you to be wise in what is good and simple concerning evil." What's that mean? The point was exactly made. Simple concerning evil means this. It's not wise to delve into it, to get to know the ins and outs of it, because of the power of deception. And that's the point of this class, is to alert you and make you aware of the subtle forms of evil out there, not for you to investigate them. By the way, I wrote down in my notes, what are some of the reasons why people get involved in the occult and these things? I believe one is because of a spiritual vacuum. Do you believe that people are empty if they don't have the Lord? I believe they're empty if they don't have the Lord. Do you believe that the media influences people in this direction? Okay. Do you believe then that there's active recruitment on behalf of Satanists to be a part of them? Okay. And curiosity, right? Be simple concerning evil. I want to read this to you. Just listen to this. It says, "Now it happened as we went to prayer that a certain slave girl possessed with a spirit of divination." In other words, if you went to her, she would do like Lisa was just describing. If you went, divination is the ability of someone by the power of the devil to tell you things in the future. It says, "A spirit of divination met us, who brought her masters much profit by her fortune telling. And this girl followed Paul and cried out, saying, 'These men are servants of the Most High God who proclaim to us the way of salvation.' This she did for many days. Paul was greatly annoyed and turned and said to the Spirit, 'I command you in the name of Jesus Christ, come out of her.' And he came out that very hour." The spirit of divination. Stay away from these things. I don't want to close on this note. I want to close with this. This is the point. Please get this if you get nothing else. When it comes to confronting the occult, can I just say, take this matter seriously? This is not child's play. This is not child's play. I would respect, if I were you, I would respect the power of the devil. I would respect the power of evil. Take it seriously. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. Can I put this down? Wage a defensive warfare. That's the point. That point has just been made well. Wage a defensive warfare doesn't mean I am going to bust this Satanist group. I'm going undercover and I'm going inside. Ooh. What it says to do, three times in the Ephesian passage, it says, stand. Right? Stand. So you understand. Christ is the key. When Paul went to Ephesus, where they were selling all kinds of imagery and all kinds of occult practices were going on, what did he do? Did he try to explain to them about all the aspects of the realm of Satan? He didn't. He preached Christ. He preached Christ. If you have any items associated with these things, maybe you were unaware that they're involved in occultism. Get rid of them. When we were in Bridgewater, we had a lady come to our church. I don't want to give her name. She had come to know Christ as her Savior. She was an older lady. I checked and found out that she's still living. And she needed to move into a different living accommodation, so she was going to sell her house. And a family in our church bought her house. And after they bought the house, a few days after that, the lady of the house came to me and said, "Pastor, I have to ask you a question. We are finding all kinds of little pieces of paper in our house. They're everywhere. They're on the windowsill. They put a window up. It's there." She said, "I find them in the bedroom. I find them in the kitchen." She said, "When I was cleaning out the cupboards, I found them in the cupboard." She said, "I found them under a mat that was on the floor." She said, "They're everywhere, these little symbols, these little pieces of paper with these letters." She said, "They don't make out, they don't, you know, they're not words that I know." Do you know what they were? This lady, before she was saved, had been involved in witchcraft. And her sister was a witch on the South Shore. And she had all of these things in her house to keep her safe. These were little magic chants. in her house. I'll never forget. Lady said, "Pastor, what do I do?" I said, "You go through and you clean the house. And you burn the stuff. And then we should have a little dedication ceremony in your house." And we did. Do you believe that stuff serious? Yeah, yeah. She was an older lady, and Vaughn, she professed to know the Lord as her Savior, and there was a lot of indication that she did. But she had no understanding. She hadn't grown enough, and she had been involved over the years in so many things that her mind really was confused about an awful lot. And it was a long process. And I believe that lady has left that stuff behind. But Tom?
Just to speak to Mrs. Tom.
Yeah?
Certain trees that we know.
Yes?
In fact, they go because the underworld or demons have been around since the beginning of time.
Yeah.
And they observe every person and every generation. So there are demons who know what we do. And they know what it is.
That's what it is. It's a demon.
Or yourself, or whatever.
Did anybody in the New Testament, or excuse me, anybody in the Old Testament ever go and seek information from a witch?
Saul.
Saul, yeah. Can I say this? When you're reading your Bible, there's four words that you need to understand what they mean. One is necromancy. Necromancy is a medium. Another word you need to understand is familiar spirit. A familiar spirit is just another word for a medium. Okay? So necromancy, familiar spirit, medium are all the same. In today's world, they don't use the word medium. They use the word channelers. Channelers. Have we just said enough to get a hold of that?
So, and you never ever know. I know I've shared before that one lady who actually said, "Well, I'm a witch." She didn't really mean she was a practicing witch, but because she actually saw it.
Well, a modern phrase that's used is my religion is Wicca.
Wicca, yes. Which is white witchcraft.
Yes.
Which is supposed to be good and natural. You get to dance around fight poles and naked quite once.
Last thing, and Curtis is going to say something. Did you notice the last one? Because it would be a shame to go through all the others and not get to the last one. Why did God give us armor? You know what needs to be protected? Helmet of salvation, right? Talks about putting on breastplate of truth. Live a life that's honest. Truth. Truth, truth. Don't get involved in deception. Don't open up your heart to deception, right? Talks about righteousness is living right. Curtis.
This was burned into my heart and my mind. This is not And I had probably about five questions four times. And then we got into the legal. And Mr. Doherty, he stopped.
Okay, we'll finish with this verse. The God of this world hath blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine in unto them, and they would be saved. You say, well, that has to do with those that are held captive by the devil and they're unsaved. True. But the devil walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may. You know what the word devour means? It means to gulp down and to overwhelm. Can the devil overwhelm? Big time. The thief cometh not but for to steal, kill, and destroy. So I think you don't have to leave here being afraid. All we have to leave here is this. I'm staying close to Christ and His Word, and I am going to check and make sure I got all the armor on. Thank you, Lord, for the class and the chance to just talk about this subject. It alerts us, Lord. It makes us aware of the evil world in which we live. And we know, Lord, from 1 John 5 that the Bible says the whole world lieth in the grip of the wicked one. We know that the devil is the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the sons of disobedience. God, help us as your people to stay close to you, knowing that when we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, when we have on the armor, we are protected indeed. Thank you, Lord, that your power, you are almighty, and your power far exceeds that of the devil. May we not do anything in life that opens ourselves up to the deception of the evil one. Bless us as we go into church. In Jesus' name.
Could I get a photocopy of that study?